Well, good evening. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how we thank you to be able to bow before your throne and know we're bowing before the God of very gods. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace to your people. We thank you for your holy and just and sovereign rule over all of your creation. And Father, we pray for the faith to be able to rest in your character, your mercy, your grace, your justice and holiness and sovereignty. Cause us to rest, knowing that our God doth all things well. Father, how we thank you for the forgiveness of sin that's found in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It could come no other way. Cleansing of our sin could come no other way than the blood of your Son. And how thankful we are that it was freely shed for the sin of your people. We thank you for the righteousness of Christ so freely given. It could come no other way than by his obedience. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray that this evening you would send your Spirit upon us and enable us to have an hour of true worship. Deliver us from just going through the motions. And Father, enable us to worship, to set our affection on things above, on our Lord Jesus Christ. Let his name be extolled and magnified. Father, I beg that you would be with me in this hour. That you not leave me alone, but that you would uphold me with thy Spirit, enable me to rightly divide the word of truth, and in clarity and in the power of your Spirit, preach the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Father, give the people that you've gathered here tonight a hearing ear and a believing heart to believe the things that you brought us here tonight to hear. Father, enable us to hear, to believe, we pray. Father, we pray for our country at this difficult time, the time of this virus. We pray that you would give relief soon, if it could be thy will. We pray, Father, in this time of this election, that you would give us a man. We know that you are the one who put men in power, removes them from power. Father, we pray that you'd give us a man who would rule well, that his heart will be in your hand. Father, we pray you turn his heart wisely to rule well, to rule for the good of people, to protect the freedoms that we enjoy and are so thankful for. Now, Father, again, we pray that you bless us. Enable us to forget about the goings-on of this life. And for just this hour, let us hear a word from thee. Lift up our hearts and cause us to leave here rejoicing in Christ our Savior. It's in his precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
We have in Jesus. grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy?
Listen to them sing, thinking, oh, I wish I could do that. That was just beautiful. Thank you. Well, open your Bibles with me again, if you would, to Psalm 127. I have had the best time this week in this psalm. I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to you, as it was to me as I looked at it this week. I titled the message tonight, A Well-Built, Happy Home. That's something I think we'd all be interested in a well-built and a happy home. Now, you usually hear this psalm quoted. This will be very familiar to you. You hear people quote it often, but it's quoted as two separate thoughts. First, you hear people quote, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You hear people talk like that frequently, don't we? And we quote that when we do, we mean unless the Lord's in something that we're doing, it's going to be in vain unless the Lord is in it. If what we're doing depends upon our works and our ability to make it happen, it's vain, isn't it? It's going to fail. We will only be successful if the Lord is the one that does it. Now, that is true. And, you know, we should always seek the Lord's will in everything that we do, because unless the Lord's in it, it's going to be vain. And that word vain means empty. Unless the Lord's in it, unless the Lord's the one doing it, it's going to be empty of anything useful to anybody. And I give you a good example. People think this is what was in David's mind as he wrote this psalm. David had it in his mind. He wanted to build the temple to the Lord. He wanted to build a house of worship to the Lord. And the Lord told David no. He said, you're not going to build a house for my name. He said, you've been a man of war. You've been a man of blood. You're not going to build me a house. He said, your son, though. Your son's going to build me a house. You know, and David labored in vain to build that house. He gathered up a bunch of materials and money and things, and he labored in vain, never laid a single stone. But when Solomon, his heart was moved to build the temple, people were just falling all over themselves to help Solomon. Even the heathen sent Solomon just gift after gift after gift, so he had everything he needed to build a spectacular place of worship. It was just easy for Solomon to do it. You know why? The Lord was in it. The Lord was building the house. Now, this is necessary to say. By no means does that mean that all of us should just do nothing and say, you know, oh, well, I don't have to do anything. The Lord's in it. It'll happen no matter what I do. No, that's not it at all. Now, you'll be familiar with this saying from an old English general who said, trust in God and keep your powder dry. That's good advice, isn't it? Trust in God and keep your powder dry. See, what this is teaching us is do everything that you know to do. Do it to the best of your ability, but never trust in anything that you've done. Always trust in the Lord to make it effectual. It's just like this virus that we're living in now. You know, be cautious about this thing, but now don't be fearful of it. Don't live in fear of it. You know, wear your mask and wash your hands and social distance. Do the wise things, you know, that we've been told that keeps the spread of this thing down. But trust in the Lord to protect you. Don't trust in your ability to, you know, dodge the virus. Trust the Lord to protect you. That's what this, don't trust in the measure you're taking. Trust in the Lord. So except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And then you hear people quote the second part of the psalm. They talk about our children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Happy is the man that's got a quiver full of children. Happy is the man that's got him a bunch of children and grandchildren. Now, everybody in this room, at least the ones who are a little bit older, know that is exactly so, isn't it? I mean, we know that. We quote that, and we mean this. This is so. Children are a blessing from the Lord. We just find so much happiness in our children, our family all being together. Now, that's true. Children are the heritage of the Lord. You know, none of us are going to have any children unless God gives them. Isn't that right? Now, the Lord's the only one who can give life. And oh my, what a blessing when he does. I remember the day Janet told me she was pregnant with Holly. She came to where I work, and she was sitting out in the lobby there, and they called me on the phone and said, your wife is up here. I said, oh no, you know what's going on? And went up there, she was sitting there, and her hands just trembling, and she's just holding this little thing. And I had no idea what it meant. And she was so excited, she couldn't speak. She finally said, we're going to have a baby. Oh, we were so happy. What a blessing. What a blessing. God gives us children and grandchildren. We're so happy in all the families together. Now, we quote those things like they're two separate thoughts. But they're not. David has one thought in mind in this whole psalm. He's talking about a well-built, happy home. And he's not talking about his home. He's not talking about his children. He's not talking about our homes or our children. You know, there are children, unfortunately, who break their parents' heart. Jan and I talked about, we remember being little, and Henry would say, some of you children broke your hearts, and we were little. We had no idea what he means. Well, we've seen it now. David experienced a broken heart over all his children didn't always make him happy, did they? I know people have experienced that sorrow with their children. They love that child, but that child's causing worry and grief. So this is talking about something that's all the time, a happy home, the child that makes the father happy. So David's not talking about our earthly homes and our earthly families. His subject here is the same as the rest of Scripture. His subject is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you that. Look here at verse 1. He says, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. Now when God builds his house, the house is built. When God does something, it's done right. And I want to give you 4 points to show you God's well-built, happy home. Number one, God's house is a happy home. It's well-built and it's not going to fall down. His children are safe inside that home because God builds his house on Christ. Look over to Isaiah chapter 28, and I'll show you that. Isaiah chapter 28. You're just not going to feel safe in the house. You feel like it's going to fall down the slightest wind or something, you know. God's house is a happy home because it's a safe place. It's built on Christ. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, every other refuge of man is a refuge of lies. Anything that's based on a man's religious works is a refuge of lies, and it's going to be swept away. God's going to sweep it away in judgment. But anything that's not built on Christ is going to fall to eternal ruin. But the house that God has built is not going to be swept away because its foundation is sure. Christ, it's all built upon Christ, the chief cornerstone, the sure foundation. Now look over Matthew chapter 16. The Lord talks about this, and this is going to be comfort for God's people. If you are built, your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness, Him and Him alone. If all your hope rests upon Christ, nothing ever can cause you to lose your salvation. Even hell itself can't do it. Look here at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now that's what men say. That's what people out there say. But now here's the issue, verse 15. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock." Now this is not Peter. And aren't you thankful God's not this rock He's talking about here is not Peter? Peter's unstable as water. He wouldn't be a good foundation. It's not talking about Peter. This is talking about the one whom Peter professed to believe. This is the one Peter confessed. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the Lord told Peter, "Peter, you're blessed." Why was Peter blessed? Because the Father had revealed Christ to him. Peter was blessed because the Father had took Peter and built him on this chief cornerstone, on the Lord Jesus Christ. He built him on Peter, and Peter and no other believer who's built upon Christ can ever be moved. Hell itself can't do it. It just can't be moved away from Christ because Christ is the sure, unmovable foundation. And here's why the house is well built. It's built by Christ and it's built on Christ and by Christ. He says here, "I will build my church." The Son of God's going to build His church. Then it's going to be well built, isn't it? Well built. You can depend upon it. And this is interesting. You think about when God created the world. There was nothing, just an empty void. And God created the world. And when He did it, He simply spoke, didn't He? He said, "Let there be light." There's light. "Let the dry land appear," and it appeared. "Let the animals appear." And "Let the grass and the trees and herbs and everything appear," just when God spoke. But when it came time for God to build His church, He sent His Son into this earth as a man, and He got busy working, building. Christ came and He built His whole church. He built all of His people on His obedience and on His sacrifice, the blood of His sacrifice. So the house is perfect. It's built on Christ and it's built by Christ. And He's not going to ever let any of His people be moved away from Christ. The horrors of hell are not going to move anybody away from Christ. And the storms of this life, the sinful hatefulness of our flesh and the flesh of other people around us, will never move us away from Christ. It might hurt, but it's not going to move you away from Christ. God's house is a happy house because it's built on Christ. And it can't be moved away from Christ. It's secure. I remember when Jan and I were first began looking for houses, and we were poor as church mice. We had no business looking for a house, but we were looking. We thought we were going to buy a house. And we went looking at houses, and there was one house we stood on, and the realtor's opening the door, and Janet grabbed my arm. The whole porch was shaking. The front porch, the whole was just shaking. We thought, this thing's going to fall down, the three of us standing on it. And she said, I can't live in a place like this. You know, I won't ever feel safe. And the house we did end up buying, first thing she told me about, she says, it's got a solid front porch. And it's not going to fall down. It's secure. That's a happy home. You're safe there. All right, now look back at our text, Psalm 127. Here's the second thing. God's house is well built, and it's a happy house because it's full of children. You know, when you build a house, or most people buy a house, you know why you do it? You do it so your family has a place to live together. You know, normally young people, they get them a house so they have a place where they can raise their children. And there is just nothing like the sound of children. There's just nothing like the sound of no matter what age they are, children in your home to make it a happy place. Well, that's God's house. It's full of children. God's children are the heritage. The word heritage means inheritance. It's the inheritance that God has chosen for himself, his children. Now, there's several points about this, about God's children. First, God's house is a happy house because it's full of Christ. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, children are the fruit of the womb. But who is the fruit of the womb? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Remember when Mary found out she was with child, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth saw her. She was pregnant with John the Baptist, and the babe leapt in her womb. And she saw Mary, and she cried out, and she said, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And the whole earth was blessed from the fruit of Mary's womb. The whole earth was blessed by Christ. He is the first fruits, the fruit of the womb, and all the rest of the harvest is blessed in him. See, the Lord Jesus, God had lots of children, but he got one son. He's got one son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He is the Son of God. And here it says, he's the reward of his Father. You've heard it said in the past that how the Father looked at his Son one day. He was so pleased with his Son. He said, "I'm going to populate heaven with a people made just like him." The Father rewarded himself. You know how he did? With his Son. He rewarded himself with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rewarded himself with the perfect Son. The perfect, obedient Son who would fulfill all of the Father's will of redemption. That's the Father's reward. It's his Son. And God's house is a happy house because it's full of Christ. It's full of the righteousness of Christ. There's not one stick of man's works in it. There's not any wood, hay, and stubble in this place. There's not one bit of wood, hay, and stubble of man's works in it. It's all the righteousness of Christ. Everybody in this house has been cleansed by the blood of Christ. This house is a glorious, happy house because it's full of the glory of Christ. There's no wonder this is such a happy house. If our natural children are a blessing to us, how much more is the Son of God? He makes this house a happy house because he fills the house. And second, God's house is full of children, full of all of God's children, because God's children are the very building blocks that build the house. Look here at verse 4. And all those children, they're sent to the exact right place. They're all put in exactly the right place where God put them. Verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Now, arrows in the hand of a skilled archer. I'm not much of an archer, but I do know this about somebody that's skilled. Those arrows go right where they're supposed to go, in the hand of a skilled archer. When God sends his arrows, he hits the bullseye every time. He never misses. Now, remember here, God's arrows are his children. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see what Peter has to say about these children. God's children are all the seed that Christ saves, and they're all in exactly the spot where God put them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively living stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now there it is. That's Christ, the precious cornerstone. The building built upon him cannot be moved. But who is the building? Ye also, as lively, living stones, are built up a spiritual house. God's children are the very building blocks that comprise his church, his house. Believers are these Peter describes here. They come to Christ. They come to Christ because God chose them and put them in Christ. They come to Christ because God gives them faith in Christ. They're living stones. They have life because they're built upon Christ. They get their life from Him. And they're the ones that God uses to build His church. The church is not these different buildings that the different local churches meet around all across the world. There's one church. It's God's church, and it's comprised of His people. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9. He said, you are God's building. You who believe, you are the living stones that make up God's building. Later on that chapter, verse 16, he said, you're the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You're the temple of God. So God's house is a happy house because it's full of children. Full of children who by God's grace make up that spiritual house. They make up the spiritual body of Christ, and they're all happy to be there. You don't have one bad apple in the bunch. You don't got one black sheep in the bunch. They're all happy to be there. They're exactly where God put them, and the only reason they're there is God's grace, and they know it. The only reason they're in the body of Christ is God chose them and put them there, and they're right happy about it. They're happy children. Then third, God's house is happy. It's a happy house. It's full of children, and none of them's missing. Not one of them. Look here at verse 5 in our text, Psalm 127. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, full of these children of the youth. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, there isn't any doubt in my mind whatsoever that the happiest time of life is when you're raising your children, when they're all just right there. You've got them under your wing. That's the best time of life. And when children are grown and out of the house, and especially if they're like our children, they move off to the big city. How do you tell? I was at physical therapy the other day, and the guy asked, well, you got big plans for Thanksgiving? How do we tell if it's going to be a good holiday? How do we tell? Is this going to be good? Is this going to be a good weekend? All the kids are going to be home. Oh, it's a happy place. All the kids are home. Well, I'm telling you what. There's coming a holiday. There's coming a wedding feast like this world has never seen. And all of God's children are going to be called home for it. These children, the children of the youth, they're children given to Christ in eternity. His quiver is full. They were given to Him in eternity. And all throughout human time, and human time is no more, and God's gathered them all together. You know what you're going to find? God's quiver is full of His children. Not one of them is missing. Not one of them. They're all going to be home. They're all going to be there. There's not going to be one empty seat at the dinner table. And none of them be ashamed. Because they're all going to belong. They're going to belong there. You know why they're going to belong there? Because they're all dressed in the wedding garment. In the perfect righteousness of Christ. They won't have anything to be ashamed of. And there's not going to be one enemy there. Spoiling the party, spoiling the holiday. David says here, they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That word speak means subdue. God's going to subdue all of His children. Before they come into the house, God's going to subdue them. Make them willing, happy, obedient children. And the house is going to be full of them. And I'm telling you, there's going to be joy there like we cannot imagine. We just can't fathom it. Not one of God's children is going to be missing. Because God doesn't do anything in vain. You remember the word vain means empty. God doesn't do anything that's empty. God's going to fill His house with His children. You know why? Because Christ came to build His house. And He did it by His death. Christ did not die in vain. When Christ died, He fully and completely redeemed all of God's elect from their sin. So there's no reason any of them be lost. There's no reason one of them would perish. There's no reason one of them wouldn't come to Christ in faith, because they've all been subdued by God the Holy Spirit. They've been made willing in the day of His power, and they're happy about it. They're happy to surrender to Christ. Now, I'm telling you, only God can do that. Only God could build this house. You know, people talk about wanting to build a ministry. I saw a book the other day about how to build a successful ministry, how to build a big ministry. I thought, boy, I bet that book's something. So I'm telling you, if we tried to build the house, at best, At best, we're going to have an empty house. And at worst, we're going to have a house full of goats. We're going to have a house full of disobedient children. But when God gives life and He fills His house with His children, there's joy. You know, God's children are happy to be living in the Father's house right now. You who believe, aren't you happy to be in Christ? A whole lot rather be in Christ than in Adam, wouldn't you? Aren't you happy to be in Christ? We're not as full of joy as we should all the time. You know, too much stuff gets us down. But God's children are happy people. They're happy to be in Christ. But I'm telling you what, you ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait until God brings all the children home together. When they're all there at once, that's going to be a happy house, isn't it? Oh, a happy house. Then thirdly, God's house is a happy house because Christ is preached there. Now look here again at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now the watchmen here represent God's preachers. Isaiah in Isaiah 56, he talked about these watchmen. He called them false prophets. He said they're blind watchmen. They're ignorant. He said they're all dumb dogs. They can't bark. They're sleeping. They're lying down. They love to slumber. He said they're greedy dogs that can never get enough. They're shepherds that can't understand. That's the watchman, false prophet. And I tell you why they're dogs that don't bark, why they don't have anything to say, because they don't understand the scriptures. They don't have anything to preach because they don't know Christ. He's the subject of the preachers. But that's not all the watchmen. Look in Isaiah chapter 62. Here Isaiah talks about God's watchmen. And they don't wake in vain. They don't go about their ministry in vain. In Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. You shall be called My Delight is in her, and thy land Beulah, married, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Now there's God's happy family. And God gives His family watchmen, preachers with a message. Look here at verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give Him no rest till He establish, until He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And here's God's watchmen. They preach. And they don't preach in vain. Listen, we never preach in vain, ever. I don't preach in vain, and you don't listen to preaching in vain, as long as the preaching is all Christ. You know, it's not in vain. Just keep preaching Christ. Just keep begging God to call out His people and save His people. And I promise you, He will. His quiver's going to be full. I just can't emphasize this strongly enough, the importance of hearing a faithful man preach the gospel. A believer will never have life. They'll never be fed and they'll never be happy without it, without the faithful preaching of Christ. Now remember, now God's the one who's building the house, but the house will never be built unless God's preachers go out and preach. Well, it'll never be built. God's people will never be saved unless God raises up preachers to preach the gospel of Christ. God's people will never be saved. This here where he says, and keep not silence. That means two things. Keep not silence in preaching. Don't quit preaching Christ. Just don't give people a break. Just keep preaching Christ. But it also means this. Keep calling out to God in prayer. And don't give Him rest till He has mercy. Keep calling out to God until He builds His house. Because unless He builds it, it's going to be in vain, isn't it? See, God's house is a happy house because of the conversation that goes on inside that house. There's some things in Janet Tate's house she does not going to let be discussed because it's going to make it a not happy place, and her home is going to be a happy place. God's house is a happy place because of the conversation that goes on. It's the preaching of Christ. You know, I tell young parents, this is my word of advice to young parents, just be sure to let your children hear mom and dad talking about Christ. Don't just let them hear the name of the Savior here. Be sure your children hear, let mom and dad are talking about Christ. Let your children hear mom and dad talking about the message that they heard earlier this week. And be sure your children bow their heads and are led in prayer to God. It'll go a long way toward making a happy home. And it'll go a long way toward making a happy child, too. This is something else. I just thought of this, but don't sell your children short. Don't sell them short. Teach them. Teach them. Have them under the sound of the gospel. Gene told me the cutest story by his granddaughter earlier this week. And I just laughed. I told Jan about it. We just laughed. But Gene, I've been thinking about that story. That kid understands what she's heard, doesn't she? She understands what she's heard. She's 4, 5. She understood. She understands what she's heard. Don't sell them short now. Let them hear you talking about Christ. And be sure they're here to hear the gospel. Now, God's home is a happy home because Christ is preached there. And the children just don't fuss and fight. I'm telling you, if we're feeding on Christ, if we're constantly feeding on Christ, we're going to be a peaceable, happy people. That's God's home. All right, here's the last thing. God's house is a happy house because it's a place of peace. Back in our text here, Psalm 127, verse 2. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, like I said earlier, this is not teaching you, well, just, don't work, don't do anything, just, well, Lord's will is going to be done. No, you get up and you go to work and you work hard every day. And don't expect to eat if you don't. Paul said, if man don't work, don't let him eat. And work as hard as you can to provide for your family. Work just, you do the absolute best job as possible for you to do, but never trust in your own work. Work as hard as you can possibly work. Trust in the Lord to feed you. Isn't that right? Just the Lord taught us to be good workers. Just, be obedient, good workers. Work as unto the Lord. Just do your dead level best at work every day. And then come on, pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. And the same thing is true spiritually. Work hard at serving and helping one another. Look for a way to do it. Don't wait to be asked. Look for a way to do it. Because the way we serve Christ is by serving one another. Be diligent in prayer. Be diligent about being in the worship service as often as humanly possible. Be diligent in giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Be diligent about living an honest life of faith before men. Be diligent about that. But live trusting Christ as your righteousness. Don't live trusting anything you've done now. Live trusting Christ as your righteousness. Once you begin trusting in your works, you're going to lose your peace. You will. Because how do you know if you've done enough? How do you know if you've done it well enough? But if you're trusting Christ, you know it's been built well, haven't you? See, true rest is being turned away from trusting self to trust Christ. That's where we have peace. Because he's done all things well. You see why God's children have peace and lay down and sleep at night? It's not because of their works. It's because they have faith in Christ. God's children are at peace because they trust Christ, just like our children. They just don't worry about the goings-on of this life. They've got mom and dad to worry about that stuff for them. And they just don't worry about it. Whatever it is, I'll take care of that. My dad can take care of that. My mom will take care of that. I don't worry about that. There's so many worries that just never cross their mind because they trust mom and dad. Our Father said, be as little children. Except you be converted, become little children. You never enter the kingdom of heaven. Be trusting of our Father. That's the way we have peace. See, God's house is a happy house because our Father built the house. He built it well. And he's going to take care of all of his children in it. And I'm telling you, that makes me happy. Does that make you happy? Oh, God's house is a happy house. All right. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you. I've enjoyed that this week. Hope God will bless it to your heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for this precious passage that we've looked at this evening that shows how our Father has built a house. taking care of all of His children in it, and not one of them will be missing. Father, how we thank You. Father, I ask You to give us the grace to rest in Christ our Savior, to enjoy the perfect peace that's ours in Him. And Father, I pray You bless Your word to call out Your sheep. Call those here tonight that as of yet have not bowed and trusted and believed in You. Call them to Christ. Grant faith and repentance, we pray, for Your glory, for the glory of Christ our Savior. We pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.